This is Ron Moss from The Heart. I want to start out this particular pod in this way. I want to read some biblical verses and then kind of move into my subject matter. And the first thing I want to read is it's entitled The Seven Abominations to God and Reasons Why We Should Avoid Them. You can find it in Proverbs 26 and 25 or Proverbs 16 through 19. Proverbs 26 and 25 warns when an ignorant person rejects wisdom, do not believe him when he speaks graciously, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Without God's fear, a person lacks wisdom, does not live righteously, and has no concern for the truth. The fool is full of lies and harbors seven abominations in his heart, despite the fact that he may seem friendly, well-mannered, polite, kind, and intriguing communicator. So what are the seven abominations to God? Proverbs 6:16 through 19 describe these seven things as abomination, and God hates them. The Lord despises six things in particular. He detests seven things: arrogant eyes, a lying mouth, hands that kill innocent people, a heart that plots wicked schemes, feet that move quickly toward evil, a false witness who tells lies, and someone who sows discord among the brethren. An abomination is something disgusting, repulsive, wicked, or despised. That is what we mean when we describe something as abhorrent. It expresses a strong dislike towards something. That gives us a pretty good idea of how the Lord feels about these seven things mentioned, which he regards as abominations. People might find it difficult to imagine that a loving God would discover something so awful that he would see it as disgusting. He is not blind to the sins committed by humans, nor is he tolerant of sinful behavior or action. Proverbs 6:6-19 provides a list of seven sins that he does not like. I also want to mention, too, real quickly, it's Matthew 22 and 36 through 40. I'm reading either the New International Version, and it starts out saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Now, I wanted to mention that, and I'll tell you why, because I had someone ask me a question the other day, and we were talking, and they said, "How do you feel about what's happening with the term transgender and what's happening with politics and how politics is dictating this right now, and how there are some churches who are now almost on one hand they talk about being acceptant of homosexuals and being accepted to transgenders. They just feel like they need to just come to church and not be seen and not be heard." And wanted to know exactly what was my take on the whole transgender issue. I grew up hearing different terminologies when we were growing up. I could take us all the way back to Sodom, but I won't do that right now. I'll just take you back to my time of growing up when I would hear terms like tomboy and dyke and faggot or butch or queen or sissy or queer or churn or carpet or muncher. grew up on all those terminologies that would fit different individuals within our family or friends that were different, that had, who looked at society not like the majority did, but they were part of a minority, but they were always there. And if we're honest just for a minute, if we could just be honest for a minute, truth be told, I'll say it again, truth be told, that most, if not all of us, have someone in our family that we can reach out and touch and say they're different. Yeah, they're different. And I guess my question would be, how do you treat the people in your family who are different? Do you turn them away? Do you exclude them from family functions? Do you tell them not to come around anymore? Do you treat them like they're trash? Do you treat them like they're less than? I can tell you this, for the people that I know, and I have different people who are different in my family, and we treat them like family. We treat them with love and kindness. We treat them like we treat them like the greatest commandment, like Jesus want me to treat everyone. And Jesus said to love everyone and love them just like you love yourself. Matter of fact, he said, love them just like you love me. And I always say this, I love scripture because it never says except for. It never says that. Now, we do. We do the except for part, but scripture never says except for. And what happens a lot of times, and this is what's happening not just in society, not just with politicians, it's also happening within the body of believers, that we're taking on this personal attitude, this personal aptitude towards people who are different. And that we're not taking on a biblical perspective on how to treat everyone. Okay. Now again, when you make a decision that you're going to deal with people in a different way because they're different, then you have to treat everybody the same way. And the reason why I want to mention the seven abominations, because if truth be told, you know, all of us will somehow fit into one of those categories in one time or another, or even now. And some of us wrestle and fight. Remember, Ephesians say we won't wrestle. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the principalities. It's against the demons that we deal with on an everyday basis. And all of us deal with some demons. All of us have a demon that we deal with consistently and constantly over and over again. And so that's why God makes it very clear to us that the best thing that you can do, preacher, the best thing you can do, teacher, the best thing you can do, politician, the best thing you can do is not judge anybody. It's not your job to judge. It's your job to love. It's your job to treat people like you want to be treated. That's what the Bible says. But we go in and make our own interpretation. We go in and take our own feelings. And some of our feelings are not that we hate somebody. We really hate ourselves because we're going through some stuff ourselves that we don't want nobody to know about. And so what we do, we reflect or we push off on somebody else and make them the spotlight of the journey instead of putting the spotlight on our issues and just dealing with those demons that we have. We make sure you focus on their demons and you focus on their plight. Now, there's something else that I want to say that's important too. Romans 10 and 9, and I want to be able to pull that up real quick here. I think it's critical that I pull this up and talk about this, because I think that one thing I learned a long time ago, that you can't really argue with anybody really without scripture. You can't really have a real discussion with anyone unless you have the word as your backbone. Because without that, you're kind of fighting a losing battle, you know. And I want to mention here Romans 10 and 9. And I'll read on here because I think it's important. It says, because, and it's the English Standard Version, it says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And again, it don't say except for. And so all of us who are going through, who have accepted the Lord as our Savior, who are on this journey to live a Christian life, save life, all of us who demons might not be out to show or might not be easily seen are on our own journeys to being the best that we can be for God. And it is a journey. And so one cannot criticize somebody because you can see something, because the one thing you can't see is what's in their heart. Now, why am I saying all of this? When that person asked me about how did I feel about transgender and how do I feel about homosexuality and how do I feel about the whole discussion about taking particular books out of libraries because of that and drag queens and drag shows and all of that, I have to always go back to the fact that all of these folk are human beings first. There was a time when we as African Americans were considered different. And we were treated like trash. Matter of fact, constitutionally, we're three-fifths of a human being. Never given equal rights under the law. Treated like second-class citizens until people start seeing us as human beings and started treating us like human beings, that life started to get a little better. What I want to say to you, and what I want to say to the person who asked me the question, is that the only thing that I'm supposed to do, that God wants me to do, is to love everybody. And then he told me he'll do the rest. And to encourage everybody to look to him. I don't care how different you are. Look to him like we're all supposed to look to him for answers. And just continue to strive to be Christ-like. And for all of us, if we do that, we'll get better. and we'll do better. In Jesus' name, God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. Oh, yeah. Peace.